Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey there, it's Waking Up in America. We're here this morning without our music. Our program is so powerful it caused a power surge at the radio station. At least that's the story I'm telling. What do you think, Randy?
I'm going to run with that. I think it's perfect. Power surge, hurricane, tornadoes.
Oh, my God. What a world we're happening in right now. I'm sitting in my study. I made it back from Albuquerque, and oh, my God, do I have pictures of Micah holding the Olympic torch, Mike holding the Olympic torch, and pictures of Meow Wolf, which is in Santa Fe. No, is that Santa Fe or Albuquerque? No, that's in Santa Fe. And just such a remarkable week. I'm actually kind of like coming down here. Well, coming down isn't quite the right word for it. I'm reorganizing my life after an amazing journey of meeting just people all over the place and how much in love they were with a torch and turning on a lot of new torchbearers. Micah, can you hear me? Tell them what it was like to hold the Olympic torch.
It was definitely quite an experience. It just felt like I was holding such, you know, rich history.
Well, I have a picture of you holding it, and it's really great. And I'm going to... Did you get that for your phone? Did you get that in your phone?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you the picture of you holding your torch, and I suggest that you put it in the telephone. Okay, so that you can actually remember it. And did I give you the handshake for the torch?
I don't believe you did, actually. I think you just did for Vital.
I am so sorry I left you out of that. You tell Mike Vital, to shake your hand with the Olympic torch handshake. Because when you do palm-to-palm after you've held the torch and felt the feeling, what happens is that you actually can then transmit the flame. And this 2,000-year-old flame that we're transmitting, hey, what can I tell you? It's a good one. Now, Randy and I were talking before the show, and I was telling her that I had heard a really great rumor. And have you checked out the rumor, Randy? For
say that again?
JF Kennedy Jr. in Cork, Ireland?
Oh, yes.
Did you find anything?
It would be great if... I found the base, but I don't have any facts on that story. It would be great if it was true.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Look, there are so many rumors. There are so many stories. You name the stories. All I know for sure is that the flame exists, that I'm passing the flame, but I got my ears open hearing what's going on the planet. And big stuff that's going on the planet is... There's a rumor that John F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be running with President Trump. Now, oh my God, I hope that's true. And here's the other part of the deal that's so much fun on that, is that he was, you found the part where he's supposed to be in an underground bunker and they tried to assassinate him? Did you hear that?
What?
Did you find that?
I've read that about several people, actually. That's kind of one that's gone around on different people. So, I mean... If it's true, it would be great. Go ahead.
Yeah, if it's true, it would be great. Can you imagine anybody being able to beat a ticket that's Trump Kennedy? I don't think it's possible. So I think we should focus on what we can do to raise the frequency of the world. We've got people that are starving and suffering all over the place. We've got a listening audience where a number of people of our listeners have invested in different projects all the way from the stock market to Bitcoin to dinar to all kinds of things. And I think there's going to be a big financial pop in the world where a lot of people will be able to help a lot of people. And that's what we need to do, Randy. I think we got to rebalance this planet. It's like, oh, my God.
My kids and I have had this conversation. Like, there's all these patterns and routines and rituals that we all grew up in, and I think people think differently now. For example, there's a generation, and I'm not blaming anybody, but there's a whole generation of people that don't turn around and help others. For example,
right.
You'll have some parents, and they spent all their years buying toys. Not, look, they work hard, they deserve their toys. But when they have kids, and then those kids have grandkids, and those are the ones that are struggling today, you know, because they can't afford to buy a house. They can't afford to really do much of anything. I mean, I was just reading about housing statistics and like places like New York, Manhattan, et cetera. And the housing market is so expensive, but yet there's parents that have motorcycles and expensive cars and vacation homes. It's like, sell some of that off and help the next generation so they're not struggling near as much. And look, I understand that they worked for it, but it is their blood. So instead of watching the struggle, how about helping them? It's just, and then they, if they get through school, they can actually turn around and pay some of that back if that's what's necessary. But the whole thought process of nobody gets anything until you're dead, and then you get it from the will, I just don't tend to agree with that.
Well, you can't even, you can't anymore, because one of the big things that's happened is reverse mortgages. Do you know what those are?
I mean, I've heard of people going through them where, let's, I believe the way the reverse mortgage works is, let's say you paid for your house, you got into a struggle, so now you need to go and basically borrow back on that. At the end of, you know, the bank or whoever does these reverse mortgages, at the end of the exact amount, let's say it's a $500,000 house, once that $500,000 has been borrowed back on, there is no house. They can actually kick you out at that point.
It's worse than that too, because what happens is, like, I inherited money from my mother and from my aunt, and that money that they saved so that I could. You know, the English are very good about inheritance, okay? And they work to leave something to be inherit, but there's no inheritance. The banks own the houses; they all disappear. The interesting thing that's been happening too was I was doing some studying. I don't know how it came up, Randy, but I was looking at attention span.
Okay.
And in the 1960s, and I come from that era, in the 1960s, the attention span was, it was like 30 minutes. You could actually put your attention on something and keep it there. Because of all of the influx, the attention span is now like under 6 minutes, okay? So that means people can't even focus on anything anymore, and that's why does longevity have something that creates focus?
Oh, yes. They have several products, not only for focus, but, you know, just brain clarity. There's certain things that I like to take if I'm just kind of dragging and I'm thinking on a project. They have a really neat product called Synaptic. It just connects everything. It gets the neurons firing. And, well, I've taken some products. And I mentioned one, too, that Peter, remember Peter, who used to work for me, who then went off to college and became a molecular biologist, and now he has a $15 million company. He's just so smart, and he, like, the moon and the stars aligned for him, because somebody that had all of the contacts that did a deal with, I believe her name was Barbara, on Shark Tank with Mark Cuban, actually reached out to him while he was living in our house. He had come back after college and lived with us again. He's one of my son's friends. And he created this $15 million company. They had a product called Cerebral Brain Force or something like that, Cerebral something, a really neat product. And I took that product, and it was unbelievable. It's like a natural Adderall. So
what is an Adderall?
It's kind of... It's what they give to kids that have ADD, ADHD.
Okay, it's like to stabilize you or something?
Yeah, well, it keeps you very, very focused and on task. And when I took those products, my brain, it was surreal. I had never experienced something like that before. It was like, I was in my office and I was working. I got more done in the next 5 hours than I did in an entire week, and it was...
No, I totally get it, and that stuff is available, and what I want you to know is that our ability to pay attention to things has actually intentionally been diminished. We've been being psychologically attacked. 5G is part of that. thank God there's a big campaign going on for that here in Topanga and around the world, Randy, because 5G actually gets in and messes with the molecules in your body. And the fact that Elon Musk is behind that, he's either, I thought he was a good guy, but I'm not sure what's behind that, because he's for it. And even though he talks and is intelligent and does great stuff, anybody that's behind, intentionally behind 5G, I'm suspicious of what's going on. And you definitely should be joining teams and things like that, because all these different things that are happening with the 5G and things of that nature, Randy's telling you how you can actually get in touch with that. Now, if they wanted to buy this product, you know, I'm not sure how we set it up through the show. Could they just write to you and say, hey, I heard about it and I would like to get some of this? And how would that happen?
We have plenty of information on 5G, because we've had guests that have come on and talked about it. So randyshannon@gmail.com, R-A-N-D-I-S-H-A-N-N-O-N @gmail.com. But there's even something, you know, that's just simple. That's it's a toxin that's in, it's a neurotoxin, actually, and it's in every but he's home pretty much, not mine. You will not find this in my house. And I'm thinking not yours either. But, you know, fluoride is a trace mineral that actually...
Oh, yes, no fluoride over here, baby. No fluoride over here.
It's very harmful to mental health. And in small doses, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control actually, you know, they make everybody put a little label on the toothpaste tube, and, you know, it is a known neurotoxin, and it messes with developmental health. You know, it lowers the IQ in children, which...
Yeah, and so those darn vaccines, don't get me going on those. I was actually listening to a very interesting tape last night, and we'll put it on for you next week, not the tape, but I was... I'm thinking, oh gosh, I wish I remembered the name. There's actually, one of the things that they do to get you into their loop is they have you opt out. For instance, I opted out for them to put in a smart meter at the house. And the guy said I never should have opted out because I never opted in. Okay. They're setting themselves up so that they can create damage, and then you've already signed off that you won't do anything to them about it. So start getting suspicious. If you get an opt-out statement, do not sign it. And I promise you, if you email Randy, I will actually get you the name of the company before next week if you're on the verge of signing an opt-out, because you don't want to do it. It's another one of their tricks. And they've got
You can opt out, you know, with for schools as well. You know what I mean? There's the religious exemption, which
California anymore.
Yeah, I was
not. They took it away.
Holds up.
But the point is, you can even get past that with this thing that I was listening to last night. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways of getting around their sneakery, and then what you have to do, what you do basically is, instead of opting out, you say, look, I'm happy to opt out as long as you provide me insurance for any damage that might occur from the particular thing that you're doing. And that shuts them up usually, okay? Because they're not going to give you any insurance.
You talk about the opt out when you didn't really want to opt in. You know where I really think that started? And nobody really thinks about this, but I think about it every time I call somebody's customer service, which is press 1 for English. Hello, I shouldn't have to press anything. This is the United States of America. America. It should be press 2 if you want to speak some of the... I don't know. I mean, how did they know that, though? But the point, I think that's where it started, and then it just kind of moved into the, hey, let's make them opt out of things. Let's make the ones that actually are here that don't want these things to do it. By the way, I heard a little ding on the phone. So we had somebody join us. So I don't know if you were ready for me to introduce.
Well, I thought I was going to get introduced, but I guess you're going to introduce me to somebody who's got some very interesting information on a special topic. So, Oscar, I get to meet you finally.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Actually, you've been touching a lot of interesting subject matters.
Yes, we're, things that we're extremely passionate about. Vaccines, aluminum in certain products, specifically, actually, I didn't throw that in there, Val, but fluoride actually facilitates the entry of aluminum into the brain. So when you see all these people with dementias and, you know, just various things going on, that's part of the problem, too. But I wanted to...
Wendy, before you go to Oscar, just for a minute, because I was going to be ragging my brain, Tom's toothpaste was always something that you could rely on that didn't have fluoride in it. And now Tom's toothpaste has decided to make a fluoride model, too. So when you go buy Tom's toothpaste, make sure you get the one that's fluoride-free, okay? Because they definitely have it.
Okay.
And I believe that they sold out to the bigger market, and that's why, because the bigger market always takes it that direction. But
well, what they will say is, Randy, they will say that they needed to remain competitive. That's what they'll say. That's what the markets that sell, you know, a lot of GMO stuff, they had to be competitive. And then I said, well, you need to mark your competitive items, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your trusted health food store. So if you're going to be competitive, mark them. Say GMO. Anyway.
And I'm sure Tom is not happy about it.
I am too. I just wanted to make sure that people just didn't grab for Tom's and know that there wasn't a difference. Finally, Oscar, we are going to have you contribute. We've picked up most of our loose ends. So, Randy, would you please? Yes.
Go ahead.
I want to hear what followed actually.
No, actually, what I really realize, listening to you, is the intricacy or the so-called relationship between economic policies and obviously politics. Now you're talking about, you know, competition, which is right now is actually global competition. We basically,
yes,
you know, making the world smaller, and everybody has to kind of survive. But in lieu of that, there is a lot of cutting corners, if you will, that a lot of companies are taking in order to be profitable in a way, or at least to maintain a certain level of profitability.
And what kind of corners are you thinking about in particular?
For example, since we're talking about the medical industry, particularly the drugs fabrication, you have companies that have been forced to use China. And China, basically, due to the type of relationship they have with these companies, is free to change even the manufacturing process. Recently, in one of these drugs, and I don't recall the name right now, they changed the manufacturing process by using a particular catalyst that is actually harmful.
Uh-huh.
The company did not know about it, and now they're involved in a major lawsuit against people that actually right now suffer as a consequence of a changing of a manufacturing process because there was no disclosure of it. It's very difficult to investigate companies in China, and as a result, we, the consumer, are paying for things like that. A very similar situation happened with a similar situation happened with the Estuco components, or also a construction sheet that actually were made fabricated in China. And we put it inside the houses, and after a while, they were developing mold, affecting obviously the inhabitants, creating situations where people, you know, suffer brain damage or suffered a respiratory illness until they discovered that actually part of the construction process in China was using egg as a processing element within the construction of these sheetrocks or these sheets for
construction. They were using what? And egg?
Yep.
And the thing is,
well, they're certainly creative. I'll give them that.
Remember, it has an interesting look into what actually we are sacrificing in order to be competitive. And that's
our lives, that's our hearts, and our souls. Other than that, what do you think, Oscar?
So that is actually a chain.
100,000 homes on the Chinese drywall issue, and over 20 states that were affected. So a lot of them here in Florida. I've met people that had them, and they were very, very sick. So the cutting of the corners, and like you said, it's very hard to investigate them in China. So what a disaster that was. Because
I did hear a couple of Chinese stories that I didn't like, and I'm not going to say the one that I don't like the most, because we are really working to improve our relationship with China. But one of the stories that I saw, and I was in China, was that they were collecting dead chickens and then putting them into barbecue sauce and then selling them. So I'm not saying that all Chinese people do this. I'm saying there are elements. And by the way, there are people in this country doing things I think are equally as awful. Forced vaccination of children and all kinds of things. So this stuff that we're looking at, it's existing in countries all over the world where greed exists. And honest to God, I don't know of a country where greed doesn't exist at this moment. Do either of you?
Oscar might. He's traveled a little more.
Do you know a country where peace exists? When I was a history major, Oscar, what I discovered is that history was written by the winners. And in a footnote, I found a woman, I think her name was Queen Christiana, and I believe, I'm not sure, it was a small country like Luxembourg or something like that. And she was a footnote in the history books because her country had 80 years of peace. And then there was another footnote in the books in which two generals who were going to fight a war got together, and this was all happening on the European continent, got together and played chess. And they figured whoever won the chess game won the war. And so the winning general, the losing chess player, acquiesced and saved thousands of soldiers' lives because the other guy won the chess game. Now, those are like amazing intelligent solutions to me for situations.
But they are as old as the world. I mean, the Greeks used to basically have that kind of a approach. As a matter of fact, even the Chinese had that kind of approach. Societies early on had that kind of approach where two generals will confront in order to save their soldier's life. And the rule was either to death or to a chess game. But yeah.
And what do you know about Gaddafi? Either of you, what's your impression of Gaddafi? The leader that we managed to wipe out was actually a guy that was doing stuff for his people. The only one, as far as I know, in the Middle East.
Well,
are you saying Gaddafi?
Yeah, I am. I was doing some research, and I found out that he actually had a lot of good things that he was doing for his people, and they didn't like it. And they put out a propaganda war against him and got him erased.
Well, so, Gaddafi has a controversial story.
Right, I mean, it is controversial, but the story isn't really the story, is the point that I've been told. Now, whether that's 100% true or not, I don't know. I'm just saying that peace has tried to pick up its head in different places. And so far, you want to call it Lucifer, you want to call it, you know, George Soros, you want to call it whatever you want to call it. There are people that like to make money off disaster and create them. You know, the Rothschilds.
Chaos is always a fantastic tool for justifying any means.
Yep.
So, yes.
Yep.
I mean, wars could even be fabricated or constructed.
Yeah.
And they are. One thing about Oscar that I've learned, you know, he's a beautiful person. Obviously, you can tell, incredibly intelligent. And he is very passionate, and one of the avenues he's really gone down is history. He has an amazing mother. She was still alive in Madrid, and she was incredibly effective as far as making sure him and his brother got incredible education. They always were learning, and is very well-rounded. So Val, I knew you were a history major, and Oscar is major into history. I don't know if that's all self-taught or...
I want to tell you, Randy, I was actually in Madrid in the 1960s, mm-hmm. at which time... I'm thinking Franco was still head of the country or whatever, but yep. everybody was driving. There were Mercedes-Benz mm-hmm. cab drivers, and it cost mm-hmm. 10 cents for a Mercedes-Benz, and I didn't know how to speak much Spanish, but I ended up in Estoril, and I loved it there, and I traveled
Estoril.
Around. Pardon?
Estoril, yeah, I know what it is.
It's where people go to gamble, and in those days wear uh-huh. black bathing suits on the beach. There was a cute little guy that was a hustler there. It was so funny. I sat and watched him for quite a while. He would. there was a little kid there that was like maybe I don't know 7-8 years old, something like that. And he would stand in the background, and there was one table that was uneven. Okay. And I watched him for like 2 or 3 tables. So what he would do is he would stand in the background, and then somebody would come, and they would sit down at that table, and they would see it rock, and he would rush right over with something to fix the table with. And they would give him a tip, of course, and then he would disappear again, and they would have their meal, and then he would come and take the thing out from under the table. I loved him. I loved him. I thought, this is an entrepreneur, you know, at this uh-huh. age. And that was one of my best examples of Estoril, was watching this little boy earning something for himself. I loved the country. I thought it was beautiful. I went to, you know, I try to remember the name of the, there's some kind of a place I went to on the side of a mountain. I had great experiences there. And
with houses hanging on the side of a mountain?
Yeah. What was that?
That is Cuenca in the southern part of Spain. Mm-hmm. The city mm-hmm. of Cuenca.
So I just had a grand time, and then I met my husband in London, and we did, you know, went to the theater and did all that English kind of stuff, ate.
That's another great city,
bought ourselves
by the way.
A Bentley. We bought a Bentley and brought it home. You know, we had a great time in Europe. The point being is that's not the Europe that's there now.
No. Yep. Since you mentioned even in Estoril, the fact that people actually particularly wearing black bathing suits in order to minimize temptation, let's put it that way.
I thought that might be true.
Yeah. During that time, basically, it was also prohibited to spit on the streets. They considered that to be such a despicable act that you were penalized if you were caught by a policeman spitting on the street.
Same's true in China, boy. You could actually get caned for spitting on the street in China.
Singapore, yes. In Singapore, being there, you had to be very careful. And China as well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which is actually, I find it in a way interesting how certain societies have transforming themselves to a point that their way of being, their character, is being eroded to almost non-recognition. It is getting to a point that, if I'm not mistaken, it was Arnold Toynbee, the English historian, who used to say that civilizations die from suicide, not by murder. And it is amazing to see how, for example, European society, it is transforming themselves to a point that, for example, about 4 to 5 years ago, in Brussels, there was a big convention of all those so-called societies in Europe in order to discuss if they were going to accept the word Christianity or Christian huh. nations are as part of their own constitutional framework, in a sense that they wanted to basically address the so-called European Constitution. Guess what? They all opted out for not having the word Christian nations as part of the Constitution.
Right. Well, let me tell you something else about Brussels, baby. This one really got me going. These guys
Thank you for
voted.
The baby.
These guys actually voted on whether to euthanize their autistic children or not.
Huh.
I was just shocked. And I will tell you, I've heard stories that I am actually not going to put out on the air because they are so unbelievably awful, and I believe they are potentially true, about what Belgium actually has done with a lot of their children. And you can mm-hmm. Google that. I'm not going to say this stuff on air because I think it perpetuates it, but I think you should know that country is an Illuminati hotspot. And I was there. I even, do you know what remote viewing is, Oscar?
Yes.
Okay, so
however,
I've taken,
you're mentioning interesting secret societies like the Illuminatis or the Rosicruces or even the Templar Knights. That will be actually an interesting subject for us to go through one day.
I totally agree with you. And anybody that wants a hint at it, read Dan Brown's books, because he's totally into this conversation. Well, I was trying to remember the Origins, I think. Did you ever get a chance to read that, Randy?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, you probably, Oscar would probably enjoy it. Maybe he could read it to you.
Yeah, sure. If you actually, I guess, off the air, you guys can give me that information, I would probably enjoy it. I do enjoy that. But you were mentioning something about euthanasia. My mother is 82 years old. She lives in Madrid, as we all know now. One of the things that actually she have compelled to me, or she have spoken to me very openly, is that there is the tacit or the so-called undercover approach right now in Europe to basically emphasize euthanasia in people, in elderlies. Due to the increasing cost of the so-called social medicine, and particularly the fact that most European countries have an inverted population pyramid, that is, there is more old people than actually newcomers or new people or younger individuals in the society, they are right now in a so-called covered-up campaign or very soft campaign to imply for euthanasia. So even with the slogans such as you have lived a full life, if you're sick, what to continue, kind of that kind of a disgusting approach.
Well, let me just toss something in here as well. There's no responsibility. These countries that are suggesting these things are taking no responsibility for the fact that they created a lot of the autistic children with their different products that they've been giving them, and their injections and their vaccinations, and they're putting them in harm's way with frequency issues and all kinds of things. They're not being responsible for it. They're just kind of like culling the population. National Geographic has had some really good articles on it. One of them was about that transgender people being actually created by fluorides and things like that in the water. And these people deserve to live too. Okay, they've been created. They deserve to live too. They're not doing harm. And yet they've been literally created by the by our culture.
And ladies, now we are playing God.
Pardon?
We are playing God. What, 2 weeks ago, Japan announced that they are actually allowing the so-called, for medical purposes, the so-called creation of animalistic humans or humans with genes based upon animals or animals with human genes in order to actually justify the fact that actually they can create a better organs for implants. So we are creating a new so-called, let's put this in bracket, a species that actually have a, if you create it, therefore, they have a right to exist.
Right.
I believe in life.
I do too.
So
I'll tell you what else.
What are we doing?
Ahead.
What are we doing?
Well, I'll tell you what else we're doing since you mentioned Japan. Japan is planning on doing the Olympics in their contaminated water and feeding our athletes contaminated food. How does that work, folks? How did the World Olympic Committee, of which as a torchbearer, 1984 torchbearer, I am traveling the country with this torch. It's already been to in over 4,000 hands. I've already passed on this Olympic conversation. The people are loving it, but they're saying to me at the same time, do you know what they're going to do to the athletes in Japan? And I think, oh, my God, how do we actually condone having our top humans on the planet swimming in contaminated waters and eating contaminated food? How does that work? Got an idea about that one, Oscar?
No. That is basically to be addressed by the so-called medical authorities, which is, right now everybody has a prize, ladies, everybody. And that prize...
Everybody has a what?
Is on, a prize. Everybody actually
yeah,
tends
it.
To forget their morals or ethics mm-hmm. just in order to get basically means, either money or property or whatever. So
well, there are some people, I mean, I get what you're saying, but for example, when I ended my campaign and made a, you know, a national spectacle, and I was on all the major news networks because I ended my campaign because I said, look, no, there's corruption on the right and the left, and I want no part of it. And I exposed what they were doing. So some people are willing to stand and not take that payment, that price.
May I comment? As I recall, if I remember correctly, please correct me, Randy, as a leading candidate, went to a meeting in which they, what did they inform you in that meeting, Randy?
Well,
that was the big turnoff when you said, I'm not doing this.
I mean, there were several meetings where it was like
well,
that.
Well, one of them had to do with the with how you were talking to people and how you had to pay attention to what they said and that, you know, that there'd be a cost for your election, basically.
Yeah, there was. They put us in a room full of, the lobbyists. And
yes.
This was, it was very targeted who they put in that room. And the governor was there. The lieutenant governor was there. And specifically, there was pharmaceutical, there was a big dog with pharmaceutical company, not just a sales rep. I mean, this guy was high up. And he just, he oozed repulsiveness to me. I felt the evil come off of that guy. I can't even describe it. And I went over to him with a friend of mine, Will Johnson, who was also a Senate candidate for a different district at the time. And we went over there together. And when the guy basically, in a, you know, just bringing it down to, I'm going to avoid all the rest of the conversation, would I support what they were doing? I said, no, absolutely not. Never in this lifetime. And it was the same thing. And I didn't mince words. I never held my tongue. I was always very polite. You know, they always liked me. Nobody ever disliked me. But I said it in such a fashion that they knew that there was no wavering with me. And it was the same thing. You know, it's illegal for you and I to gamble in our house. We can't go and play poker with pennies. If authorities, there's laws in the books that would say that's illegal and we could go to jail, but yet I never really believed in it where the state can then go open up casinos. And so they had lobbyists there for that as well. And it was a couple gentlemen, and they kind of always tag teamed against the candidate. So I guess if one wasn't thinking of a point, then another one would. And so then it was you against them, and I'm sure there's tons of pressure. But I never succumbed to that pressure with any of them. And they sabotaged me in various forms all along the way. And I flat out got a phone call that said to me, if you do not get on the governor's agenda, he's not going to get on yours. You will have no support. And there's a sitting U.S. senator right now who took me aside at the Capitol in Des Moines, Iowa. And it's a beautiful building. She took me aside in a small room. And she said, look, I know what you're about, and it's great. But if you let them know that you're going to buck the system, it's not going to work for you. Because when you want to get rid of this, you have people get on board and vote for this or that, you know, if I was going to bring to the table. If I didn't support theirs, even if theirs was junk, even if it was crap and horrible for the people, then they would not support me. I would never find support. And that's what she told me. And she said, you have to go along to get along. And I get that in a way, but I don't get it all the way. And
well, so, it isn't go along to get along. That's the sellout conversation. That's not an intelligent conversation. You have to create, if you really want something in the world, you have to create a team of people that see the good and the service in something. You don't get to create out of manipulation. You don't get, all of that has a backlash. And by the way, in my opinion, the backlash is coming big time hard, and a lot of people are going to be given a chance to disappear or take the other pill or something like that. I heard that George Bush Sr. was given a choice, and that he actually took a pill. And I hope it's true, but I really wanted him to actually experience what he had done to others. And I see things that are happening, and it's maybe hard for our listeners to see it, but I'm watching artists get together. I'm watching people of service get together. I'm watching a coalition of 5G people that's happening here in Topanga Canyon, and it's growing with such speed you'd be proud. I've had cranky neighbors that got upset with me when I mentioned that, you know, we didn't owe any money to the banks or our houses, that it was a put-up deal. They got very upset with me because if they believed me, that would mean everything they believed wasn't true. And a lot of what we believe isn't true. Even Abraham Lincoln, Randy and Oscar, even Abraham Lincoln said at some point, and I don't have the exact quote, but basically he said, "Yeah, the people that you have to watch the closest are your own government."
Mm-hmm.
That's the president of the United States. And didn't Ike warn us about our government as well? Eisenhower? Yep. Military. These people, we've been warned.
Interesting, sorry.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, Oscar could go down, Val, you're opening up a lot of roads, and Oscar could go down all of them. Let me tell you, he's being so calm here on air, but I have heard the most passionate conversations and arguments come out of so, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
I know, I could tell
Oscar,
he's being...
I just wanted to say, not everyone has a price. Some are willing to stand the
There's
line.
There's a lot of people that don't have prices, and that's what... When I carry the Olympic torch, that torch finds those people. I got to tell you a funny story. I've been traveling on a shoestring. I put $8,000 of my own money in to get this thing started, okay? And I'm at the airport in Albuquerque, and I realize that I have forgotten my cord for my phone. It's like, oh God. So I go upstairs and they want $34.95, of course, for a new phone. And I said, I'm not doing that. So I'm in the bathroom and I turn to this woman who looked friendly and I said, okay, if you got to Albuquerque without your phone cord and you didn't want to pay $34.95 in the store, what would you do? And she said, oh, that's easy. She said, I'd go upstairs to the bar. And I'd sit at the counter, and I would enroll the bartender. And then she would charge my phone for me, or they would charge your phone for you. So I go upstairs, and this sweet woman, Daisy, is the bartender, and I explain to her that, that I've lost my cord. I don't want to pay $34.95, and would she charge my phone? And then I have my Olympic torch lying on the counter in its little bag, and she goes, what's that? And I go, it's an Olympic torch. She goes, my God, it's an Olympic torch? And I said, yes. And so I ended up taking the Olympic torch out. I've got her picture somewhere. She's holding the torch. The people in the bar find out that I've got an Olympic torch. One of them's named Amanda. It turns out her uncle carried an Olympic torch. And she has to call home. And everybody's on their cell phone saying that there's an Olympic torch in the bar. And then guess what happens? Oh, I had to order a drink. It was a good margarita, too, by the way, Randy. I ordered my drink, had my margarita, and they're running around with a torch. The shift comes in. The guy didn't know what was going on. He wasn't interested. But by then, I had three new people initiated into the Olympic flame, because it's a flame that you're actually, it's a transmitter. And she gave me not only a really nice extension cord, but the plug-in as well. And it cost me $10 plus tip. And three Olympic people signed up. And that's
very nice.
I'm not just saying the Olympics is the only way to do it, but if you, the listener, have a passion about something, start putting your passion out, because a lot of us are here to be of service. I myself have taken over 100 plus seminars. I don't even remember at this point, because I wanted to know how to get the most out of being here. And I'm not telling you I have gotten the most out of being here yet, but I will tell you that I'm in a heck of a different place if I hadn't got myself trained in the service, because service is where it's at as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think anybody on this call, including Micah or the radio station, because I got pictures of them all holding the Olympic torch, glowing like just happy, happy people they're in. So KTBL in Albuquerque, Mexico is in. Meow Wolf in Santa Fe is in. Compound on, Canyon Road in Santa Fe is in. We're picking up people right and left. They're just all over the place. They want to do something that actually contributes to a better world. And the message of the Olympic torch is, well, first of all, what it says in the torch is higher, stronger, faster. But what the flame translates into is peace, prosperity, and happiness for all. Now, nobody can argue about that. They may not be interested, or they may not agree, but they can't argue about it. And if you're tired of your family being torn apart because it's a Trump or it's a Pelosi or it's a this or it's a that or it's a vaccination or blah, 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 reach out for service and see where you can join. What do you think about that, Oscar?
I think that actually both of you have to be commended for two things, your dedication and passion. And that actually should be, I think most of your listeners are within that realm of categories. They are passionate and therefore they are definitely dedicated. But in that regard, I have to commend both of you for your efforts and for your every Saturday morning endeavors into, you know, seeing a different picture, which is great, by the way. So I agree.
Do you know how long Randy and I have been doing this? Did she tell you?
No, I don't.
9 years so far. I've been on air 33 years, and 9 of them I've had the privilege of being with Ms. Shannon.
No. You do make a great couple.
Yeah, we're a couple of people that want to see a difference, and we are willing to help other people get there with us. Randy is a constant inspiration to me, and what can I say? And I have to tell you, when I went to Merida for the Peace Conference, I met all of these really handsome men. I swear to God, the Latin lover showed up in front of me, and I don't know what you look like yet, but I got a soft spot for you just because of your accent and your heart, okay, Oscar?
Well, next time we meet, I want a picture with the flame, with the torch, and a margarita.
No, you bet. I can tell you where the good margaritas are, too. It's a remarkable journey. I know we're going to be, I don't know what time we're going to be off air, because we didn't know that we didn't have entering music. Micah, are you there? How much time do we have?
7 minutes.
We have 7 minutes. So,
oh,
we have outro music. Oh, wait. Okay, so we didn't have intro, but we've got we can leave gracefully with our outro music. I'm going to have most of the names that we read at the end of the show transferred over to the webpage. Everything's in constant change. I've had to fix, since I got back, almost every system, simply because the systems, the machines did not favor me on this journey and caused me just no end of grief in transferring funds and getting web pages updated and all kinds of stuff. So we're putting our attention on that. And right now I'm just going to direct you over to happily200.com. And happily200.com is actually the possibility of living to be 200 years old. I don't expect you to live to be 200 years old. I know that you will take better care of yourself if you think you can. And that's what that is all about. And
hey,
it turns out, yes.
Well, since we're getting closer to the end of the show, and one of my most favorite people on the planet Earth is President Trump, and I know that Oscar is a huge fan, I wanted to see if we could hear what he thought about the upcoming election, or you know, just Donald Trump.
I really want to keep out of that arena. Ever since I don't mind referring to this, but I really want to keep out of the. I want to keep it above the election and things of that nature, because right now we have people and families actually tearing each other apart over this, and I really don't want to go there. I'm pretty sure we know who's going to win.
Who?
Like, I would agree with you. How you clever little Dickens, you. I'm pretty sure I know who's going to win, and I'm pretty sure Oscar knows.
Who do you think's going
to
win?
I'm sorry. I have to agree with Belle. I want to enjoy my margarita. So.
No, it's like if we get down there, somebody will go down there with us. And I don't want them down there. I spent a lot of money and a lot of time getting people to, like, look up for service, right? And I'm telling you that if you guess who we think is going to win, you're right, okay? And that's all I care to say about the elections, because I really do not want to hear another word about the machinations of the dark side. I don't want the dark side to have any power in our conversation at all. They've had the earth for a couple thousand years. I'm sorry, no more. We're creating happiness, we're creating prosperity, and we pretty much know. Anyway, if you go over to happily200.com, you can actually, we're changing the webpage. I'm not asking you to donate, I'm asking you to sponsor. And what I want you to do is I want you to sponsor the Olympic torch and that conversation traveling throughout the United States. And I got a really good idea, Randy. I'm going to look up the 10 happiest cities in the U.S. and make sure that the torch gets to the 10 happiest cities. And then the happy people will start to spread happiness. And we need an onslaught of happiness, as far as I'm concerned. Any comment on that, Oscar?
I'm happy, but I'll be happier with that margarita you promised me. No, I have
you,
to.
Do you like them tall, or do you like them on the rocks?
Oh, I like them with salt and a good tequila.
Yes. What's your best tequila?
3 minutes. The form, it doesn't matter. I like the content of everything. My favorite tequila, I think I have to go for Herradura. Reposado, yes.
So, we're toasting you with our margaritas.
Deal.
We're toasting a future of service, of fun, of relaxation, about, you know, shedding all the stuff that's been laid on us for good Lord, who knows how long. And we're just going to slough off that skin and turn into, if you think people of service is a tough job, no, you've never seen anything until you've seen somebody's face light up because you gave them something they didn't have before. You haven't seen anything until you've seen somebody that gets to go to school, that really wanted to go to school. There's nothing better. You think money may be better? It isn't. It doesn't mean you're not going to have money. It means that the look on that person's face when you reach out or they get a new idea, it's what it's all about. Randy, anything you'd like to say before we go?
No, I'm just grateful that we had Oscar on, and hopefully we can get him back.
I think I know somebody who knows him personally, and I'm sure we can. I bet we can get Oscar back real easy. I'd be glad to do that. Oscar, you're a treasure, okay?
You too.
A treasure. Thank you
for inviting me. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, and I really want to thank the people that have made Waking Up in America possible. I'm going to do the short list. We'll put the long list on the website. Everything's being redone right now, so if you go over there and you think, oh, my God, what's happening, it should be straightened out very soon. But here's Jeff Spinard over at Voice America. He's great. Ron Simon, Mike Vitale, Micah, Mary Flynn over at KTBL. John Young at Totally Gospel does a lot of our foreign stuff. We're transported all over the world. We're not doing any of this by ourselves. We're members of a team, and we have an amazing team here. And create your own team, create your own project. By the end of the year, the First Women's Bank Trust will be giving out funding so that you can actually have your project happen, and we'll be happy to entertain that. And thank you so much for listening. We just really appreciate you working with us and liking what we say and following us, and make your own world a special world, because we deserve it.
Pouring through, now your heart is open. This is for all of your crazy schemes, love and dreams, and the time you spoke them. And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you knew, pouring through, now your heart is open.